Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the telephone conference where Mr. Jean-Pascal Bobtz, CEO of Bobtz Group, will be discussing the group's 2016 half-year financial results. Sir, please go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the interest you show in our company by attending this telephone conference. Its purpose is to comment on Bobtz Group first half-year results 2016, as well as on the outlook for the full year. With me today, Attilio Tisi, our Chief Financial Officer, and Giuseppe Santoro, our Investor Relations Manager and Group Treasurer. The press release, which was issued this morning, and the half-year report can also be found on the Bobtz internet website. Bobtz Group first half-year results shows an increase in sales and EBIT versus previous year. Net result is lower as we had positive one-time tax effect in previous year. For full year 2016, we expect to improve upon the full year sales guidance given last March 2016 due to the strength of the business in the first half year at current exchange rates and barring unforeseen circumstances. Our telephone conference is structured in three sections. First, I will talk about the group sales and operating results for the first half 2016. Second, some additional macro analysis by business unit and by region. Finally, the outlook for the full year 2016. The group turnover for the first six months of 2016 amounted to 600.4 million Swiss francs, representing an increase of 75.7 million Swiss francs or +14.4% compared with the same period in 2015. This positive evolution was mainly due to a good backlog at the beginning of the year and an overall good level of activity. The split is as follows. Volume and price variance had a positive impact of 46.7 million Swiss francs or +8.9%. A change in scope of consolidation due to the full impact of the acquisitions of Nuova G2A of 14.9 million or +2.8%. The positive impact of exchange rates due to conversion representing 10.8 million Swiss francs or 2.1%. The transactional impact on sales volume from our Swiss operations of 3.3 million Swiss francs or 0.6%. By business unit, compared to the 2015 half-year figures, sales reached 122.6% for Sheetfed, 93% for Webfed, and 116.6% for Services. The group operating result shows a profit of 18 million Swiss francs compared to a profit of 14.7 million Swiss francs for the same period in 2015. The increase in the operating results is mainly due to the positive contribution from higher sales. This improvement was partly offset by higher costs, particularly for the launch of new products and for exhibitions. The high utilization of all production plants also impacted positively the operating results of the first half year. The business unit Sheetfed and Services improved their operating results with higher sales, while the operating results of business unit Webfed was lower than in the first half of 2015 due to lower sales, a less favorable product mix, and pressure on margins. The net results amounted to 9.7 million Swiss francs compared to 14.8 million Swiss francs in 2015. Financial expenses reduced further in the reporting year, but the group had a one-time 8.1 million Swiss francs positive tax effect in 2015, which did not occur in 2016. Cash inflow from operating activities is 11.6 million Swiss francs, compared with 48.9 million Swiss francs in the first half 2015. This is mostly due to the good activity in the first half of the year, leading to higher receivables than in previous year, and temporarily higher inventories for machines to be invoiced in the second half of the year. Net debt increased to 20.2 million Swiss francs from 1.7 million Swiss francs at the end of 2015, mainly due to the usual increase of net working capital during the year. The consolidated shareholders' equity reached 30.7% of the total balance sheet compared to 31.1% at the end of 2015. The switch from IFRS to Swiss GAAP FER. Due to the change in the accounting standard as from fiscal year 2016 on, the 2015 figures have been restated to ensure a correct comparison with 2016. The consequences are: income statement results have slightly improved, mainly due to the adjustment on employee benefits and acquisitions-related charges. In the balance sheet, the biggest change concerns employee benefit liabilities, as well as goodwill and other intangible assets from acquisitions, which have been offset with equity. The total assets have thus been reduced by 93.1 million Swiss francs, and equity has increased by 7.8 million Swiss francs on the balance sheet of 31st December 2015. As a consequence of these changes, the equity ratio on 31st December 2015 improved from 28.6% to 31.1%. I will now continue with the second section, which will give you some details for each business unit regarding market situation, turnover, and operating results evolutions. The business unit Sheetfed, compared to the exceptional first half-year 2015 activity in the first 6 months of 2016, was slightly below, largely due to the timing of die-cutter and litho-laminator investments among corrugated board converters. This was offset to a degree by strong activity in flatbed die-cutters for the folding carton sector. Drupa was a clear success, and the new presented technologies were perceived as real innovations by our customers and resulted in significant handshakes on these across all geographical areas. Both the MasterCut 106PR and the new MasterFold 110 premiered at Drupa surprised customers with their advanced technical solutions, which make them the most productive machines in the market. Sales for the business unit Sheetfed for first half year 2016 improved by 22.6% compared to the previous year. Demand is driven by mature markets, in particular North America, but also Western Europe. Emerging markets are performing better in 2016 thanks to Southeast Asia, Africa, and Middle East. South America, however, continues to underperform, and the economic situation in China impacts business. Although total bookings for the first half year 2016 are down by 6% versus the same period in 2015. Sales for the first half year are up 22.6% as the backlog at the beginning of the year was good. This makes for a promising full year based upon the current backlog and the usual stronger second half. The turnover for the business unit Sheetfed for the first half 2016 has increased by 53.4 million Swiss francs or plus 22.6% compared to H1 2015. The operating result amounts to minus 2.5 million Swiss francs. Based on the high backlog level and the usual positive volume imbalance in the second half of the year, the business unit Sheetfed is forecasting more sales for the full year than in 2015. Now for the business unit Webfed. The first half of the year was in line with 2015 with regards to bookings, mostly because in this case, customers put a hold on investments before Drupa 2016. Overall, market trends are similar to last year. Mature countries have a good level of activity and consolidation continues among customers. In emerging markets, China and South America are slow, while India, Middle East and Africa do quite well despite political instability. The Drupa 2016 exhibition was a success as well, with a record number of handshakes on the deal during the show. The business unit Webfed could show at the same time the integration of its product lines and present its many new equipments. The gravure product line exhibited printing units from the new 6002 and 6003 rotogravure press. The flexographic product line showed the new MW85F, a machine designed for short runs and minimized waste with high printing quality. A newcomer in our product portfolio, the lamination product line presented the new CL750 solvent and solventless compact laminator, which completes the product range for converters looking for non-automatic machines, particularly for medium-run production in growing markets. The label product line premiered the M6 inline flexo press in two configurations on the same machine, one for the flexible packaging and one for the folding carton application with inline converting. This was demonstrated using extended color gamut printing or digital flexo, which maximizes the efficiency of the printing process, avoiding the need for Pantone colors, reducing drastically setup time and waste. A real breakthrough in printing. Sales for the first half year of 2016 for the business unit Webfed were lower by 7% than 2015 due to the less special machine, postponements of sales, and a lower backlog at the beginning of the year. Despite this, the backlog and the good performance at Drupa mean that the business unit should meet its objectives for the year. The turnover of the business unit Webfed increased by 7.6 million or decreased, sorry, by 7.6 million or minus 7% compared to H1 2015. The operating result amounts to minus 7.5 million. Now for the business unit services. First half year sales for the business unit services were above the same period in 2015. Sales have increased mainly through more contract business like maintenance programs, machine inspections, and contracts for remote troubleshooting and monitoring. Newly hired field technicians permitted an increase of service hours delivered. The effect of exchange rate evolution had a positive impact as well on the volumes. The market situation shows in the European and North American markets, sales have increased by almost 20%. Africa and Middle East grew by 8%. South America is stagnating. Asia, after a slow turn in 2015, saw a regain of requests for services support amounting a 20% growth, largely due to machine overhaul and relocations. The turnover of business unit services is growing by 16.6% compared to H1 2015. The operating result amounts to 28.5 million. The business unit services expects to see normal business development for the second half of 2016 if no major change in the world economy nor exchange rate occur. For the remainder of 2016, our focus will be to continue to improve customer satisfaction, provide continuous training to existing service technicians and hire additional ones to fulfill our product launch strategy, and to further optimize our global presence. Let's have a look at the group turnover by geography. Looking at the distribution of sales by geography zone, we see that Europe has increased by 12.5%, or 34.4 million Swiss francs, versus first half 2015, and the Americas posted an increase of plus 12.4%, or 17.8 million Swiss francs. Asia and Oceania increased by 3.4%, or 3.3 million Swiss francs. Africa also increased by 224.4%, or 20.2 million Swiss francs. These represent the consolidated situation for the group. The trend for each business unit is different. Europe growth is driven by mature markets, mainly Spain, Italy, and Belgium. Americas is growing due to the performance of North America and Mexico. South America is slow with some exceptions. Asia and Oceania are stable, however, hampered by the slowdown of the Chinese economy, but with a good growth in India in the first half of 2016. Africa is gaining momentum in North Africa, Middle East, and South Africa. Now let's have a look to our outlook for the second half of 2016. The BOBS Group strategy should continue to develop and adjust its product offering while the global markets remain very challenging but quite good with very tense political situations. We should continue to see a busy second half of 2016 in nearly all plans as most of Drupa handshakes should transform into orders in the third and fourth quarter. At current exchange rates and bearing unforeseen circumstances, such as new or severe political crisis, the group is confident to achieve full year sales of 1.35 billion to 1.4 billion in 2016. Our previous guidance was 1.3 to 1.35 billion Swiss francs. For the full year 2016, the group expects a similar operating result as the restated operating results of 2015 at 83.9 million Swiss francs. The net result will be lower than the restated net result for 2015 of 67.1 million Swiss francs, as the group benefited from a one-time tax credit in 2015. The mid- to long-term financial target of at least 8% operating results and a minimum 15% return on capital employed remain unchanged. Feedback received from customers and visitors at Drupa confirmed the success of the group strategy, which is to innovate and to increase the performance of its services. To conclude, we would like to highlight the following. The political instability in some regions and the new trend towards protectionism are creating an unstable environment for the economy. The group continues to implement its strategy based on the three main priorities: to innovate with product bringing higher total cost of ownership to our customers' requirements, increase its presence in growing markets for sales and services capabilities, increase the performance of its services with a strong focus on customer satisfaction. With the 125th anniversary, our group has demonstrated strong resilience over the years, as well as continuous innovation, bringing the equipment and services to the packaging industry along with the objective to create value for its stakeholders. Thank you for your attention. We are now ready to answer your questions.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. So star 1 or asterisk 1. Thank you. You will be advised when to ask your question. And we already have a question. The first question is coming from the line of Thomas Baumann from Miro in Zurich. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I have four questions, if I may. First of all, Bob's obviously had a strong response to the innovation shown at the Drupa. But here, maybe you could elaborate a little bit where you had a particular strong interest and in which machines or services. That would be the first question. The second, you also announced at the Drupa that BOPS has now in digital a solution also for VetFed for folding carton and flexible materials available. However, you said that there were kind of a conditional availability, if I may say so. And I would love to know what the response has been to interested parties or whether you have even taken, you know, firm orders in this area. The third question regards the business unit VetFed. You're saying in the release or in the report that you are convinced that you will reach the 2016 targets. I mean, given the high, I mean, the extreme imbalance, particularly in this business unit between H1 and H2, I would be very grateful if you could, you know, maybe narrow a bit what the targets in terms of sales and operating profits are, given the adverse effects that you have on the mix and pricing. And then my last question, I can't leave that out, is obviously services. I mean, it's a staggering performance what the BU delivered. In the last 4 years, the second half in services was typically stronger. And I, you know, would like to hear whether you expect the same in 2016 or whether we have in this sense an unusual year. And then obviously also the question whether the margin is kind of a sustainable margin or whether we had, you know, special effects like maybe less new hirings that you're going to intensivize in the second half, you know, just to get a feel how sustainable that margin is. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. So we start from your first question regarding innovation and the biggest success or strongest success during Drupa. Clearly, the highlight was the narrow web inline flexo, or what we call digital flexo technology with inline converting on the same machine, on the same pass. You saw folding carton applications, paper or film. So this is very rare. and that has demonstrated our ability to master the technology from A to Z. As you start from a reel, a white piece of paper, or a reel of film, and you end up with a finished good, cutted pack in the end, and that on top with the same ink, meaning this is why we call, and I don't want to go in details today about this digital flexo, but with high graphic, high quality, and very versatile equipment. That has shown to industry that if we know how to master the overall process environment of the printing and converting technologies, this brings a very significant added value and competitive edge for our customers. Therefore, we see with this machine a real opportunity to penetrate folding carton printing activities on which the Bob's Group as of today had no real offer, as we are not in the offset technology. So that, I guess, was a real eye-opener for our customer base to see Bob's entering more and more digital and printing activities in these packaging applications. Another equipment was, as I said, the relaunch of the laminator. We used to have this press years ago. We started to stop due to priorities and focus. Now we have, as you know, the platforming and modular concept almost made in 70% all technologies, and now we are able to come with extended product portfolio while keeping group cost control on this platforming for new products to be launched. And I will say, not least, but on the technology, you saw current die cutters or photographers, and these equipment came as well with a very high TCO for our customers. We are targeting 15 minutes plus setup time reduction on a die cutter. This is huge. And thanks to this enhanced technology built in, we believe that should have a good promising future for these technologies. I would like still to put, a bemol to this statement. As you know, these MasterCut type of technologies, we are not selling 20 or 50 units a year. We are talking about no more than about 10 units per year on the high flagship machines, and those are very good years. So don't expect 100 million more thanks to this technology, but certainly a good platform to continue to evolve and bring more throughput and keep our leadership on technology and applications. In Drupa again, yes, we show digital as well. Digital, clearly, we have in our lab beta presses for film, for folding carton, and we have those, our two prototype for corrugated on the field. We continue, our program right now is to continue to test and develop business cases with brand owners on various substrate and applications, and that I will see triangle between customers, brand owners, and Bob's. And we are looking to promote this beta or prototype as well as for the web application starting next year. But that will come only once the technology and availability of this technology will be robust. I repeat myself compared to the last discussions we had with you gentlemen. Bob's will come on the market with this technology once the technology is robust and industrialized, and today it's still too early and not industrialized enough. So for the one who came to Drupa, you saw a lot of offering in digital solutions across the exhibitors, but only very, very little, not to say one or two only, are able to sell and deliver machines today. Most of the 80% plus of exhibitors, they demonstrate, I will say, showcases, but not machines ready to produce and deliver yet. Most of these equipment from competitors will come later 17, 18 plus for to be produced and delivered at customers. On the WebFed side, yes, we had a quite unstable year or unbalanced year. The very big change for WebFed are mainly twofold. One, we continue to gain market share in a medium segment in flexible flexo presses, and there the competition is very strong, and therefore Bob says to gain market share in this field, and this is our strategy, and we will continue to do so, and that has an impact on the profitability. On the second, we talk now already for the last 2 years on a substantial shift in product mix and special machines, and this is unfortunately a confirmation that today special machines are no longer as popular as it used to be, and therefore the product mix is very different, and therefore not having these special machines, that has a big impact on the business unit itself. The good news for us anyway is that the acquisition of Nuova G2A last year in label activities demonstrate a very strong growth as expected, and this is positive, as well as for new technologies we are launching, such as laminator, solventless, and so on, that will continue to bring our position stronger on the market. But special machines and large complex equipment are somewhat, I would say, overcapacity on the market, and we see today a slowdown for this type of equipment. Therefore, for WebFed, we still remain positive in that sense that we are fighting, continuing to transform this business unit radically to make sure that we have the right product portfolio to continue to penetrate the market and be resilient. So the sales should be slightly up in the second half of the year. We said that the booking was pretty good, and we do have, as you know, the usual unbalanced H1, H2. For the service, service is certainly early to say if this is a new trend. We are anyway very happy to see the good resonance from the market. You know that in 2010, we took the bet to really develop a business unit service to better serve our technologies, our markets, our customers. And with all the investment we have made and we are continuing to do, we can see the last 6 to 7 months a strong pull. And we hope that this trend will stay at this level. We don't say that the increase will continue to be year on year, but if we can create a new plateau, a new reference on this activity, certainly that will be positive. We have this success today thanks to new hiring. We told you that, of course, on one side we had more cost because we increased our field technicians pool to support each technology worldwide and each different segment. This is a big investment, and we will not stop. We will continue to do so. However, we see on the positive side as well more turnover thanks to these. The parts availability as well, all the transformations and investment we made in transforming our different, if you remember, we had 13 different technologies and brands before putting all into under one umbrella, Buffs in 2012, as well starts to see good results. And of course, when customers see competitiveness, parts availability, good pricing, and high-skilled technicians, they come back and start to have Buffs as a preferred supplier. So that will be in a nutshell our analysis for the last 6 months. Did I answer your questions, Thomas?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. We have one more question. Just a reminder, you, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And the next question is coming from the line of Armin Eschbergen from ZKB in Zurich. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Thank you.
Hello, gentlemen. My question, my first one is regarding your cost, your raw material costs. They were much higher than in the half year before. Is that because of Drupa? Are these costs in there? And if so, which costs did you book for Drupa? And then I have other questions.
So thank you, Armin, for this first question. I give the word to Attilio Tisi.
Good morning, Armin. When comparing the quote for the part in material in sales, it highly depends on the product mix, which is not exactly the same in H1 than H2. So from that point of view, no surprise for us. It's in line with what we anticipated. For Drupa, and this we tried also to mention in the press release, all the cost related to Drupa is already either in because we already received the invoices or we have booked provisions for. So all the costs for Drupa, and this is something between 6 and 7 million direct costs we have, is already in H1 and will not repeat in H2. On top of that, we had also somehow higher costs than expected to complete the machine. It's not unusual. It's always the rush in the last month to get the products ready, and this caused a certain overrun, which is unfortunately quite usual.
But I mean, still, when we compare with first half year last year, now we have 21.5% more raw materials costs versus sales improvement of 14.4%. So that's just explained by another product mix.
Yes.
But which means, but you explained in first semester the product mix is always worse than in the second. But I mean, we compare here first semester with first semester, and still we have very strong over proportional material effect.
Quite different, Armin. So depending on the technology, as you know, for instance here in Switzerland, we still have part manufacturing. So there the proportion of material bought within the product is lower. In other factories, we buy nearly everything. This is one explanation, and the other one is...
I can't understand clearly. I'm sorry, you're like hacked.
Yes.
Can you repeat again? Sorry.
Yes, I will. Depending on the different technologies means in which factory the products are built, we have a difference. As you know, in May, for instance, we still manufacture parts. So there the proportion of material bought is less than, for instance, in Lyon, in St. George, and in Bielefeld, where we buy nearly all of the material we assemble. So depending on where the products come from, you can have a significant difference in the material proportion in the total cost of the product. This is one. And on the other side, also when for the spare parts, when we buy spare parts externally, and this as we had a nice increase in the business for services, there we have also a higher proportion of material than when we manufacture products.
But Drupa is not included in raw materials. That's not a reason, though.
It's in services. So when we buy, for instance, services, it's in. Yes, it's in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the other question would be regarding your guidance, first for sales. I mean, if I take the mid-range of your guidance, 1.35 to 1.4 billion, then that means that you would have in the, you would expect in the second half a decline of sales versus second half last year. Is that possible and why? And even if I go to the highest range, to 1.4 billion, I get a very slight decline of almost 1%. How is that possible?
So first of all, I mean, we should not forget that H2 2015 was extremely high. So was, for instance, 60 million higher than H2 2014. So mm-hmm. last year was the most unbalanced year ever we had. Mm-hmm. And we saw that it is extremely challenging to ship that amount. It's also one of the reasons why we try to get something more balanced as far as our customers accept to get the machines earlier during the year. But we try. So from that point of view, let's see what we can do until the rest of the year. We don't have all the machines which have to be still booked, built, and shipped in the backlog. So there are still some machines to book. And you know that we prefer to surprise positively than negatively. So we stay prudent. And on the other side, Mr. Bobst mentioned it. We had a fantastic first half of the year for services. Recurring, what we see from today's point of view, we have not anticipated to be able to double in the second half. If it comes, we will all be happy, but we prefer to be a little bit prudent and see if this is really a new level, consistent, or if H1 was exceptionally high.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. The next question is coming from the line of Remo Resenau from Neue Bank in Zurich. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Thank you.
You've mentioned the 6 or 7 million extra cost due to Drupa all booked in H1. However, you also mentioned several times that there are other exhibitions this year, quite a large exhibition in Asia and so on, which also cause extra costs. I mean, how much of those have been booked in H1 in addition to the Drupa costs, and how much of those will potentially also be coming up in H2? The second question is, could you just update us on the net impact of the currency effect in H1, on particularly on the operating profit, which potentially was a little bit positive? And the third question, also related to Forex, is it correct that your budget exchange rates, which are also the base for your guidance, are or have been 95 cents for the dollar versus Swiss franc and 105 for the euro versus Swiss franc? And are these still the budget exchange rate you have as a base for the guidance for the full year? And the last question is, could you update us on your current hedging for the full year? Is the order backlog hedged, or how is your position right now? Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions. I will take a few and then give the word to Attilio for more details on some of your questions. Regarding the exhibitions, the biggest one is from Drupa, as we have a lot of machines on the booth and running equipment, and that will not be the case for other shows. So K Kunststoff Messe in October will be present, but without machines. And Label Expo will be present. This is the second biggest in H2 in September in the U.S. with a smaller machine. So first, we have no cost booked for these exhibitions in H1, or very little. For preparation, of course, the majority will be charged in H2, but the comparison in the terms of budget has nothing to do with the Drupa cost. So I will say H2 is more, it's heavier than a normal H2, but much lower than Drupa cost you have. Then for the if we go to the last question on the hedging on the backlog, we are always hedging our backlog. So each time we take an order, we hedge the order case by case every time. So this is a policy, and so the entire backlog is hedged at the day we do enter this as an order. For the second question, I will give the word to Attilio.
Yes, Remo, good morning. Just also a compliment to the hedging policy. We have also taken benefit of the change from IFRS to Swiss GAAP FEO to change our policy towards a different strategy, how to hedge respectively, how to account for. And the 3.3 million transaction impact you saw from the reported impact on sales, it should be the last time we see that, because for the future, the hedging differences are accounted against equity. So, and this policy is much more difficult from a documentation point of view to do with IFRS. So we didn't do it with one exception, which was the American market. And now we have it on all. The translation impact will still remain, but we should not see any more transactional impact on the results. We'll have it directly on the equity, but not on the results in the future. Then for the FX impact on results, to come back on your second question, as we have shifted an additional portion of our supply base last year from Switzerland to mainly to the EU zone, we don't have necessarily a positive impact now to the better euro than the 106 we had in budget and the 0.96 for the US dollar. So we have some positive on the top line, but we have also some higher costs. I would say that the impact is relatively neutral on our results. And so I have already given you the element for the third one. The rates we used for budget are 106 for the euro and 0.96 for the US dollar. We have now for forecast, and our internal forecast is also what determines the guidance, we have higher rates for the euro and the US dollar. We are quite close. So in the guidance, what you have integrated in the guidance are rates which are quite close to the average we have seen during the first 6 months.
Okay, great, thank you.
Welcome.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We have a couple of more questions. The next one is coming from the line of Mark Webb from Guadal from Geneva. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Thank you.
Yes, good morning. Mark St. John Webb from Quero Capital. I wonder if I can ask a fairly generalist question. If you can just remind us the geographical breakdown of your manufacturing capacity and your cost base, of course, making reference to your Swiss cost base at the same time. Just remind us how it's evolved over the last couple of years and then in the first half of this year and what we can expect if any changes over the next couple of years. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. So this year versus the last years, we did not change the footprint of our production capabilities, besides the fact that we have made an acquisition in Italy, so we have increased our footprint in Italy by acquisitions. But on the rest, restructuration, moving left and right, the make or buy, it's more on a regular basis, but no major shift compared to what we announced. And just to recap a little bit from a cost base where we stand, and I will give you numbers from a headcount perspective, so you will see best how to split the cost base of our production centers. So the biggest site still remains in Switzerland in May with 1,500 employees. In France, we have about 500 employees plus. In Italy, we have 400 employees. In Germany, I'm talking about strictly production sites. In Germany, we have 300 plus. And then we are increasing increasing in China with the greenfield, but the greenfield will be postponed by a couple of months due to authorization to build the building, but we're increasing in China slightly as well as in India. But this has no major change compared to 12 months ago.
Thank you. And could you also help us understand, now you've been working with a higher Swiss franc for quite some time. Your state-of-the-art site at May, I mean, do you feel that the products there, your focus on the higher value-added products there, make that a production site which has got high enough productivity considering higher local costs?
If you look at the history, we can today confirm our strategy. Maybe you can recall some numbers. We have reduced by more than 800 headcounts in Switzerland over the last years, over the last 6 years. So that's major. And we have focused our technology development on platforming and modular concepts. This is helping us to move modules from one site to another, not within months, but more between semesters or a year from one site to another if we see a major shift in currencies, for example. Never simple to do, but at least the foundation and the prerequisites are met. So as of today, with the current FX Swiss francs euro and Swiss francs dollar, we believe our Swiss operation is quite competitive.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We have a couple of more questions. The next one is coming from Thomas Baumann from Mirror Azure. Please go ahead. The line is now open. Thank you.
Yeah, I have three more quick ones. First of all, to the ongoing negotiations with VFAC for the takeover of a unit there, these negotiations are still on or have they been concluded in either way? And then secondly, on the UK, maybe you have, I would love to know what your feedback is from your UK-based customers regarding their investment propensity after the Brexit vote. How do they behave? Have they put things on hold or is it business as usual? And then finally, in your 2015 annual report, you wrote that you would expect further growth in 2017 as compared to 2016. Now, with 7 months in the year, has that statement become more valid or more likely or less likely? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. So for your first question regarding our negotiation with Polytype, it's still ongoing. We are still in negotiations, and I cannot comment more than that.
Okay.
From the UK Brexit, I guess it's a big emotion and a big surprise or hit on the psychological point of view. However, from a business standpoint, as of now, and this is very, very early to say and to take position, but as of today, as we speak, after a couple of weeks after this vote, we do not see major signals that our customers are withdrawing. But again, it's very early, so we need to see in October, November, when they start to meet the budget, if that will have a major change or not. But as of now, as we speak, we didn't see a major shift or announcement from customers that they will stop completely their CapEx and change their strategy. On the annual report, yes, last year we mentioned that we are looking for growth and we will see some opportunities. I guess the numbers we deliver today, they show that. Clearly, we see opportunities in growing countries. There, we are a bit late in the launch on some products, sometimes between 4 to 8 months, depending on the technology. And this is due to the level of quality we want to bring on the market, and this is mandatory. So, on purpose, we decided to postpone some introduction of these technologies or new product to make sure that we have the right quality level. However, we see a very strong interest for those technologies. you know, so when you launch a product in an exhibition, the first machine which will be really industrialized and delivered to a customer will be only 6 to 8 months after the show. So for Drupa, the first machine shown in Drupa will be delivered to customer not before Q1 next year or Q2. Where we see clearly uncorrugated a very, very high level for the last years and until beginning of this year, today, not right now, we see a slight decrease in corrugated demands. But this is normal because as we were really high, we expected to see a slowdown. We don't say it's not a crisis. It's a normal slowdown for the corrugated applications after 2 or 3 years of very high level of investment. In folding carton, we see more good level and stable and quite a number of opportunities in Middle East, in India, in Southeast Asia, and certainly signals, not strong enough yet, but in China with some starting of interest emerging again. When we look at the film consumptions are still good on the market. The film consumption is really pulling in quite a number of zones, and we are positive on the film sector. That's why, as well, if I can extend my answer, you have seen a web-fed pressure on margin. It's because we want to penetrate and get market share, which we did not have, because we have the right product now, and due to the very, very strong different product mix compared to last year's, we do suffer, but we are very confident in the industry, and the field business is good to be in. Voilà, that's it in a nutshell. Do you have a further question, Thomas?
Oh, thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We have one last question. It's coming from the line of Armin Rechberger from ZKB in Zurich. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Thank you.
Yes, me again. I have a question regarding your order backlog in the middle of the year. Am I right when I got the impression that at Sheetfed you have a lower order backlog than in the year before now due to big deliveries already in the first semester, and in WebFed you have a higher order backlog than last year, in the middle of the year, that means?
Yeah, thank you, Armin, for your question. Yes, it's that. It's exactly in first half 2015, we had a very strong order intake bookings for Sheetfed, and this is slightly lower H1 2016. That's correct.
And situation in WebFed?
WebFed, it's higher than last year. As you know, delivery time in WebFed for machines are longer. As we started the year with a lower backlog than expected, then we had a lower turnover H1 WebFed, and now we have a stronger backlog and order intake in WebFed, so that you will see that in sales turnover 16 and hopefully H1 17 for WebFed.
Mm-hmm. And then additional question. I'm sorry, but at digital printing, I got the impression there is not much of a progress you reached, or is that wrong? I mean, you say it's ready when it's ready, but can't you put a little bit meat on the bone just to give us more information how is the progress there? Also, in flexible digital printing, is there something new to mention?
Sure. So I can understand that it's difficult for you, because it's also difficult for us to understand who has the right technology to have a total cost of ownership for application. If you allow me, I will start a bit on the higher level, then go back in details. Digital printing is a future success story in packaging, but it's not today a success story for nobody. So if you look at any type of suppliers, digital printing, packaging, I'm not talking about digital printing for the office activities or for label industry, but for packaging, nobody today has what we call industrialized solution to produce 90%+ of the time, 24/7, blah, blah, blah. So our industry requirements and demands on the reliability of the technology is much higher than what you can find in other industries where they use already digital printing technologies. This is why it takes longer than expected, not only because technology is less reliable than a gravure, flexo, or offset technology, but as well because you need to develop new chemistry. Each time you change the substrate, you change, and the substrate is different from Italy to Germany, from Germany to the US, and so on. You need to adjust somewhat your chemistry, preprint, ink, depending on the substrate. And that takes time as well. The last point which takes time is the transformation of the industry itself linked to the brand owners. The Mars, the PepsiCo, the Coca-Cola, the P&G, they have also to digest and understand what does it mean for them. So to go to where BOFS is progressing, we have made huge progress in evaluation and creating business cases with brand owners, and most of the feedback, we met more than 150 different people only purely for digitalization projects in Drupa, and the feedback we got quite positive, not positive in the sense, oh, you have a lab test. No, we have shown some business cases, some real printing qualities, and we know that there we are very competitive. This is good news. Second point, we do continue to progress and find out how to make this machine as reliable as possible, meaning finding the right TCO for each application. And this is where we stand today. And we will not jeopardize our reputation nor brands because we bring machines on the market which are not reliable enough. This is our point today. You do have other suppliers. They have less risk from a brand perspective. And for them, it's okay if the machine is half of the time down. But for BOFS, it's not okay. Therefore, we keep our strategy and we will deliver when we have the right quality. Does it help you?
Mm-hmm. And how is the progress with flexible digital printing on flexible material? Are you do you have a machine up and running there, or what is the situation there?
So starting with digital printing a few years ago helped us today, you saw in Drupa, to come with the digital flexo for folding carton and film. This is an hybrid press, if you want, an in-between situation between conventional and 100% digital. And this has a very strong resonance on the market, and we have sold already, I will not give you exact number, but a couple of presses in Drupa, and this is very positive for us. We will continue to develop. You will see that in Q1 next year. We will continue to develop and launch this type of, I will say, digital flexo applications, which is a mix between digital printing and conventional printing that helps to add even more and enhance even more quality of print and processes in packaging. Then for the digital printing itself on web, we will come with the press, as I said, next year with a solution, but I cannot tell you more today.
Mm-hmm. But the digital printing press from Chidue, Nuovo Chidue, I have to say, yes, is not with inkjet. It's still with plates, or isn't it? Or
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's not, but it's everything is digitalized, and we are able to create the file and the cliche in a digital manner, which makes this press very, very competitive because you never change the ink. You always keep the 7 colors in the machine, and you create the color you want to reach in the same way like if you were jetting with inkjet modules on the machine. But the and that's the revolution in the conventional press itself. And those are patents and solutions we found, and that will bring a lot of advantages to our customers as well.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you very much. The next question is coming from the line of Mark Bossa from Vivi in Switzerland. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Thank you.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I was just wondering whether you could allude on the activities of Gordon's in China and how the integration and the development has gone with Gordon's.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for your question. Three chapters. First of all, the integration of Gordon within the group is going very well, and we are very satisfied with this acquisition. As you know, when we see integration, it's in fact a very light integration from technology standpoint and sales, because they have their own sales and service channel, their own brands. However, we do optimize where we can optimize and make synergies, but still it's a dependent identity, and this is the best and the most effective way to manage this company. We see that worldwide. As an example, we had only two complaints from customers over the last 4 years on the service level, because customers wanted to have the same level at Bob compared to Bob's with Gordon. But on the other side, all other customers, they are quite happy with his product portfolio and positioning. So this is for us a real success. Now, Gordon in China, within the environment, we keep our market share in China. However, on the other side, we are not increasing. So from one side, we're happy. From the other side, we would like to be much more competitive. And one of our strategic targets for the next months to come is really to understand how can we and what shall we do to continue to make Gordon grow at a good pace, because we made these acquisitions to grow where we can in countries such as the Middle East, Africa, Southeast Asia, and so on. And there we need to see what to be done. But overall, the past integration went very well.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. It seems like we don't have any more questions, so I'm handing over to you, Mr. Bobs, to conclude. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to thank you for your questions and interest for our group. Within a volatile and unpredictable business environment, Bob's Group is pursuing the group strategy to deliver the expected sustainable profitability. More information will be given to you during our next meeting for our traditional update on the full year activity, which will take place on December 20th in Zurich. Thank you very much. Have a nice vacation, and best regards from the Lake of Geneva.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets to end the call. Thank you.